Welcome to the NBA LA Preview Series presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me on all these preview pods, Corey Waldron. How you doing, Corey?
Good, Nick. How you doing? You know, we're not talking about King James. We're talking about the other kings in the NBA. That's my bad joke for the show. So let's roll.
No, let's roll with it. You know, everybody needs to throw a joke out there once in a while. But like you said, we're talking Kings today, number 22. Sacramento definitely had an interesting offseason. But before we talk about the ranking for this year, let's talk about last season for the Kings.
What sticks out in my mind is the fact that DeMarcus Cousins was traded for Buddy Hield, primarily going to the New Orleans Pelicans, which, you know, we'll talk about that trade a little bit. But, you know, we saw a team that was battling for that eighth seed early on in the season. Austin, a new acquisition. We saw Cousins doing what DeMarcus Cousins always does, which is basketball, but also complain throughout the entire course of a game. He's a little bit of a hothead, obviously, as we know. But it was time. It was the last time we're going to see that Kings team turnover on this team. So the Kings of last year are gone.
Yeah, last year, I mean, like, they were kind of in the playoff race in the beginning. The West was kind of bad at the bottom last year, but it was still pretty much a disappointing season. You know, Rudy Gay went down early with the Achilles injury. You mentioned DeMarcus Cousins. He put up big numbers, but, you know, things just weren't smooth there. There's a lot of chatter about him being traded. Then the Kings saying they wouldn't trade him. You know, that whole situation was just kind of messy. Like you mentioned, he ended up in New Orleans. So, but overall, you know, last season just was kind of what you've come to expect out of the Kings, another season without the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's that's what the Kings now, I think, finally understand is after, you know, 4 or 5 years with the DeMarcus Cousins era, they just weren't getting any closer to the playoffs. And, you know, it was time to reshape this team. I mean, I don't think the way in which they did it or what they got in place for DeMarcus Cousins was necessarily the best deal or the best situation going forward, but it was them finally making the decision whether to rebuild without Cousins or, you know, to rebuild with Cousins.
Do you think they should have, you know, pulled the plug on the Cousins era a lot sooner, or, you know, they chose the right time?
I'm going to say it was too late. I mean, getting a new head coach with Dave Yeager last season, right? Or was this his first?
Yep.
This was his first full season?
Yep.
Why bring in a coach just to then trade away the franchise player, you know, during that tenure? Why not just completely start fresh? I probably would have went earlier, especially because of what they got in return for him. You know, a deal with Buddy Hield as the face of the deal for me is questionable. I know that the owner, right, he drew comparisons to the Hield with Steph Curry, or said he could be a Steph Curry-like player, I believe.
Yes, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. He said he's going to shoot like those guys.
I mean, that's, he hasn't proven that he can do that, obviously. It's outlandish, but I think they could have gotten a better deal for sure. So I'm going to say they should have gone earlier.
Yeah, that whole situation was kind of just messy. And like you said, I think they probably could have dealt him earlier. And I don't think that has anything to do with Cousins, but I think they needed to realize that the pieces just weren't in place to win at that time with Cousins as your best player entering his prime and being such a dominant setter. You know, they needed to move him when they got the best deal. And obviously I think they probably got offers of multiple, you know, high picks, but they didn't, you know, take them when they were available because they wanted to stick with Cousins. They end up with Buddy Hield, and I think they got another first round pick in the trade as well. So we'll see what happens with Buddy. Obviously the Kings are really high on him. What was your highlight for the Kings last season?
It's going to be weird to say because he's not on the team anymore, but it's going to be DeMarcus Cousins. Even still, like, we're not going to see DeMarcus Cousins in the same light going forward now that he's playing along Anthony Davis. There will be sacrifice, and then if it works, that is. You know, who knows how that plays out, but, you know, we saw DeMarcus Cousins as a vocal point, and, I mean, he averaged 27.8 points per game, 10.6 rebounds, almost 5 assists, and 55 games with the Kings. I mean, those are big-time numbers for a center, and almost every night he went out there and was putting up, it felt like, you know, 30 and 10.
Yeah, you know, he was the type of player that could carry the Kings to a win, and considering the type of talent on that team, that's saying a lot. You know, he was kind of huge in that role, and he put up big numbers. Obviously, like you said, New Orleans will probably calm down a little. You'll see some big numbers, though, because they don't have a ton of talent down there. But for me, I'm actually going to pick somebody that you're not very high on. I'm going to go with Buddy Hield. Came into New Orleans, and he came into Sacramento, and he had a really good finish to the season. He did not play that way in New Orleans, so it'll be interesting to see what he does all year long. But his stint with the Kings, I think he really impressed.
I mean, okay. When you look at the stats and how he played, you're 100% correct. I mean, he was everything and more that the Kings were hoping to get. And he made the – I can't think of the owner's name who made the comment about Hield, but he made him sound right. I mean, Hield balled out. His field goal percentage was higher. His three-point percentage was higher. And he looked a lot more confident within the offense. Playing alongside Anthony Davis, you know, that was the man. And now with the Kings, Buddy Hield is now the man. So he gets a lot more leniency and the ability to play more of his style of pace, you know, with the Kings. And I think, you know, like you said, it really showed that second half of the year.
And they also kind of got him at the better part of the year. You know, anytime a rookie has to play, you know, their first, you know, 40 to 60 games, they're going to be a lot more comfortable in those last 20 games. So he got some time to adjust, like you mentioned, the system. There wasn't really a ton of guys in that team willing to take a lot of shots. So it was also interesting because, you know, the Kings didn't have a ton of talent on the floor. For Buddy to be able to get shots and put points up and shoot a good percentage was kind of impressive. But disappointment for the Kings last year.
Disappointment for the Kings last year. I'm going to say, I don't know. Give me a second.
I know this is a weird situation for the Kings because I was thinking about the roster and there's not like anybody that like truly disappointed because they kind of did what you expected them to do. You know, obviously it was disappointing. Rudy Gay went down 30 games in. And then I would probably say it was disappointing how they handled the Marcus Cousins situation because, you know, it was always like, oh, we're going to trade Cousins. Oh, we're not going to trade Cousins. And obviously I don't think, you know, they left on the best terms.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there was obviously all the internal – I mean, situation in general. It really hurt his own value because everyone has this stigma built up that Cousins is really hard and a poor locker room guy. And actually, like, if you dig deeper, he's really not a bad guy. Community, he does a lot of things for Sacramento, and like even most of his teammates loved him.
I mean, let's be honest, you know, if a lot of big time players had to play for the Kings, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be in a good mood all the time either. And the Kings didn't really do a great job trying to make his life easier. They never really brought in guys that could, you know, make the Marcus Cousins' life easier and get him in a playoff situation, and they kind of failed him. So I think, you know, some of it was earned by the Kings and them just mishandling the situation. Obviously, Cousins is a great player and needs to keep the technicals down and stuff. But, you know, it's not necessarily terrible to have emotion. He just can't complain as much.
Yeah. But actually, the biggest player disappointment would probably just be Ben McLemore.
That was the only player that I was thinking about adding. And I felt like, you know, I'm not going to put him because I feel like it's every year for him. But, you know, he's been a disappointment.
I saw something, dude. He got roasted so bad on Twitter. You know the Kobe challenge that's going around? Like the
Yeah.
Somebody, he asked for one. He's like, Kobe, like, what's my challenge? And if you, like, read the comments, people are like, how about you actually get to play more than 20 minutes in the season? How about you shoot above 40% for once? Or, like, how about you average double digits? Like, really roasted by, like, the entire NBA Twitter community at one point.
Yeah, honestly, I just saw something about him. I said I think he tweeted Kobe again and said, I'm still waiting on the challenge. And people were still going ham on him. So, you know, he's in Memphis now. Maybe he can get things together, having some veterans. We don't know what the Kings did to their young talent, if they put them in good situations to succeed, or if it was just the talent not, you know, being NBA level. But moving on from disappointment, let's talk ranking. You know, what do you think about this rank for the Kings at number 22?
Pretty fair. This is one of the teams that if you had to give them a letter grade for the offseason, they're probably an A. We're going to talk about it, obviously, in a few minutes. This has been a really good offseason for the Kings, and they're definitely better than they were last year, in my opinion.
I think, you know, especially comparing the Kings' past offseasons, I think this was a really good offseason. I probably maybe a little bit high. I think we have to remember they play in the Western Conference. They're going to lose a ton of games just from playing in the West. And there's still, you know, some question marks on this team. Obviously, we'll talk about the veterans they brought in, but I'm not 100% sold. I think they're in the right direction, but I don't necessarily think that's always means that they're going to win a lot more games. I think they've done a lot of things wrong. They've done a lot of things right, just intangible-wise. You know, having the veterans, you know, trying to steady the organization, that's a positive, but I don't know how much it'll impact the win total.
It's fair. Actually, now that I think about it, I think it's a fair rating. But like, even for me, like, a lot of this team so far, I don't have them winning a lot of games still. You know, the last eight teams we've done, they're all in the same – I mean, the bottom five are the bottom five. But where we are now, every team is around that same kind of win total, and the Kings kind of just slide right into there.
Yeah, I think the Kings kind of got this ranking just from a couple people being a little extra high in them. Like you said, all these bottom 10 teams are kind of around the same thing. So, but we'll see what happens with the Kings. Obviously, you know, even just having some good veterans can make a lot of changes. But we'll talk draft first. Additions, obviously the big draft pick. They draft De'Aaron Fox, number 5 overall. What are your thoughts on Fox?
I like him a lot. I mean, this is a guy who balled out of Kentucky. He's extremely fast. He kind of has that John Wall quickness. He can run up and down the floor quickly. He's a very good defender. I mean, if this kid can develop a consistent jump shot, I mean, wow, he could be a huge piece alongside of Buddy Hield. I'm really high on Fox. He was a steal at number 5 in many ways.
Yeah, Fox definitely has a high ceiling. Like you said, for him, it's going to be big to develop that jump shot. You know, obviously, if you guys listen to the NBA Outlet at all, I'm big on point guard shooting threes. So that's something he'll have to develop. But his offensive ability, just getting in the lane, his athleticism, like you mentioned, the John Wall type speed. Obviously, he puts on some size. I know a lot of the OTG draft writers liked his defensive potential. You know, he needed some size, but his quickness, able to guard on ball, will be big in the NBA, especially in the Western Conference.
For sure, and like we saw in this, you know, couple games in college, especially, I had a lot of people bring up the Lonzo Ball game against like the best talent in the NCAA. This guy played at another level. He always seemed to raise his game in the bigger moments, that's always big. That's something big for me when I look at college players coming into the NBA, is if they have that like little edge in their game.
The it factor. And also, you know, he seems like he has an outgoing personality, which could be good for the Kings, you know, get some positive stuff going around over there. But the Kings also had, you know, another draft pick. I think they had the number 10 pick. They traded down. They picked up the 15th and 20th pick. They drafted Justin Jackson from North Carolina and then Harry Giles at number 20 from Duke. What do you like about these picks?
Jackson could be a very nice small forward. I don't see him having a huge impact early. He's the guy who's going to need to develop a little bit. But it's a good pick for 15. Decent shooter, a decent defender. He's got decent size already, so it's really just about molding his game. And then Harry Giles, I was praying for the Pacers to draft him. And they didn't want to – I mean, I was hoping he was going to fall to the Pacers. They could draft him. Ended up going to the Kings. If that guy can stay healthy, I mean, we're talking about the kid who was supposed to be number one in the country before he got hurt with all these knee injuries. He could be an absolute steal. Mason, who they got in the second round, that's another kind of point guard, a little scrappy, who, you know, we've been seeing this lately with, like, Tyler Ulis. These scrappy, smaller point guards seem to be finding success in the NBA. And yeah. Mason could also be another one.
He definitely could. I like Justin Jackson. I think he could probably come in a little bit sooner than you think and contribute. And Giles, like you said, you know, if he can get healthy and he can get his confidence back, because last year it wasn't only his health, it was his confidence. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he tore an ACL in both knees. So, you know, just feeling, you know, comfortable on the floor will be a big deal for him. But if he can ever get to that level, it's a really nice pick for the Kings.
For sure. I mean, this kid has just so much athletic ability. And I mean, just looking at this, like these, you know, four players in this draft, like, these are all four extremely quality picks. Like, I'm just thinking, like, letter grade-wise, I would give, you know, De'Aaron Fox an A, Jackson at least an A-minus, B-plus, Harry Giles a B-plus, and, like, Frank Mason, like, a B-minus, B. I mean, these are, like, the front office did a complete turnaround after shopping DeMarcus Cousins. It looks like the Kings finally know what they're doing for once.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like you said it, you know, this is a good draft. And, like, we're so used to the Kings having terrible drafts where maybe they get one good pick. But this year, you know, all these picks could hit, and it could be a really good year for the Kings and really help turn around that franchise. Especially,
they didn't draft a center.
Yeah. The 1 year?
The first year they didn't draft a center.
They drafted, like, two centers in one draft. And it was just like, come on. But they also were busy in the offseason in terms of signing players. You know, I'll go through the list real quick. We'll go through each guy. George Hill, Zach Randolph, Vince Carter, and then they brought over Bojan Bogdanovic. not to mistaken with the Pacers player. This is another guy. Their names are almost spelled exactly the same. I think the only difference is in the first name, it's a G and not a J or something like that. But, you know, four quality players for the Kings to bring onto the roster. Obviously, Zebo and Vince are a little bit up there in age, but talk about George Hill first.
Wow. I the Bogdan Bogdanovich thing, you know, I just wanted to make one comment. Somebody, like, put, like, a 2K roster and, like, showed me that, and, like, I thought it was a joke that there was a guy with the same exact name as Bogdan. So I'm glad you clarified that, because I was confused.
Was confusing before, like, Boyan was, the Pacer player now. Before he was, like, well-known in the NBA, it was, like, hard to separate them when you search them for Google because their names were so close.
That's crazy. You're right. It's almost exactly identical. Like, if you put that on a piece of paper side by side, it could probably trick a lot of people. All right. So, George Hill.
Your legend. Boy.
My boy. George Hill was very good last year for the Utah Jazz. I wish he was healthier so we could have thought with Utah. I mean, I wish Utah was healthy in general. Well, last year in Utah, I mean, I'm not the greatest playmaking George Hill fan, but a George Hill playing like a two guard in a small ball lineup next to De'Aaron Fox, I think it'd be really fun. George Hill is a very good defender, great perimeter defender. He's 30 years old now, I believe. He's a 3-point shooter, and he's a veteran. Like he has a good leadership quality about him. And you know, for a guy like De'Aaron Fox coming into the league, who's already a very good defender, he needs to develop a jump shot. He could take a lot of things from George Hill and become a very a better version of George Hill.
Yeah, he could take all the pros from George Hill's game. You know, like you said, it's just like the little things that George Hill does, the shooting ability, coming off picks a certain way. He's also become a good locker room guy. Obviously, in Utah, he was pretty well liked. Like you said, it would have been nice to see the Jazz healthy in the playoffs, but that didn't happen. I think the George Hill thing, you know, was kind of a surprise because the Kings weren't necessarily a team we thought he would sign with, but they gave him the money. I think the third year is either partially guaranteed or a player team option or something along those lines. So it works out for both parties because by the time the young piece on the Kings kind of come together, George Hill will be coming off the books.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years, $57 million. I was slightly surprised that he got that much money just compared to what I think like Kyle Lowry and Jeff Teague. It's a very friendly deal because 3 years from now, you got to think that a lot of these young players, hopefully, if you're a Kings fan, are developed, and now you're moving on to a sustained run with a young core.
Yeah, very true. And that, you know, that could definitely be something positive for the Kings moving forward. But also, what do you think about Zebo and BC?
Zebo, you know, we have to see what happens with these marijuana charges and how that develops. And there's a phone, there's a video of him like, or a photo of him like on a burner phone. And Zebo have been having a trap phone like the whole time, which is funny. But we'll have to see what happens with that. But I mean, Zebo outside of these charges and whatever the allegations, you know, the guy is a very good locker room guy. I mean, he was loved in Memphis. You know, I mean, Knicks, Zebo felt, I mean, I couldn't even picture Zebo ever leaving Memphis at one point. Culture that him, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, and, you know, Tony Allen all developed, that felt like a thing that even though they weren't going to, like, win a title, it was just going to stay together forever.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. It kind of seemed like he might retire there. I think he was probably surprised that the Kings offered him, you know, this type of deal. He probably planned on signing with a contender. I didn't really expect him to sign with Sacramento. Same thing with Vince Carter. I didn't expect him. I thought he might just, you know, take a seat on Golden State's bench to a championship. But,
yo, I thought he had an interview on, like, the Jump or whatever, and he really made it sound like he was ready just to go chase a ring. And then he goes, I'm going to the Kings. And it's like, wow, that's left field. Like, they wanted to add a veteran small forward, and they definitely got one in Vince Carter. It's crazy to think that Vince Carter is going to be 40 years old, and he's still likely to get solid minutes over here in Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, they might need him to play small forward a little bit more than we think. But then Bogdanovich, do you know much about him? I know that he's, you know, a talented young player. He's still pretty young. He's going to come over. He's going to bring some offensive pop. He's probably more athletic than some international players. But, you know, like most international players, it's unknown until we see him play in the NBA.
Yeah, I know. I looked up a little bit. I know that he can shoot the three ball decently well. That's about it. I haven't done much research. I just know that he can shoot the long ball, and he's a little bit better offensively.
I mean,
recent memory.
I'm kind of interested to see. You know, I think they drafted him maybe 2 years ago. See what happens. He definitely developed his game a little bit more. But let's talk departures. So there, like you mentioned earlier on the pod, there's been a lot of turnaround on this roster. Obviously, we mentioned DeMarcus Cousins trade that happened late last season. But they also lost Rudy Gay, Darren Collison, Tyreek Evans, Aaron Aflalo, Ty Lawson. Out of all these guys, who do you think is going to hurt the most?
I mean, it's got to be the clear-cut answer, right? This isn't a trick question, Nick. You setting me up here?
No.
it's DeMarcus Cousins. I still.
Oh no, I wasn't including Cousins. I wasn't including Cousins.
Okay.
That would have been too easy.
Okay. Of all the people they're losing, that's tough. It's between Rudy Gay and Darren Collison, but Rudy Gay is such a weird piece. I'm gonna say Darren Collison. He came to Sacramento after being with Indiana. He actually was one of their better 3-point shooters. He shot over 42% every year with the Kings. He was a solid backup point guard for them. I mean, he started at times as well. Rondo and Ty Lawson, him split minutes last year. I think I like what Darren Collison can bring offensively off the bench as a point guard. He seems to be a nice little quick bucket. A bit better size on him since his time with Indiana. And I think just because, I mean, now you have George Hill, so you're not really going to miss him as much. But I got nothing. Just go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, if they didn't get George Hill, they'd probably miss Collison and Lawson. But since they have Hill, they have the veteran point guard. I really don't think they're going to miss any of these guys. You know, not saying none of them are good players, but it just didn't make sense to keep any of them, open up those spots for young guys and veterans that you want to have around. You know, there's not every single one of these guys had positive stints in Sacramento. So
no. And you said, I mean, I'm going to retract my statements. I do like what Derek Collison was for this roster. Like you said, though, like, none of these guys truly would have fit in where they're trying to take this Kings roster in general. So it's not really a loss when you're looking at the direction of the franchise. I mean, because Rudy Gay, even though he went down with the Achilles injury against the Indiana Pacers, may I add, you know, he was a one-sided offensive player. You know, defensively, he would give you stints of actually showing up. And then, you know, Aflalo hasn't really been relevant. Ty Lawson with the DWI charges seems to be kind of a headache more than worth it.
Yeah, Ty Lawson's really never gotten back to the level that we were used to seeing in Denver, which is kind of sad. And like you mentioned, Rudy Gay came out early in the year and said he was going to opt out of his contract. And I think there were some comments saying he wanted out of Sacramento at one point too. So obviously you want to bring guys that want to be there and kind of reset the organization. So, you know, that
he told pretty, wait a minute, he Rudy Gay told Dave Yeager when he came into the Kings, like, welcome to basketball hell. That just shows what Rudy Gay, like, had to think about the Sacramento Kings.
And not to say that he was wrong, because things were definitely messy over there. But it looks like, you know, they're starting to try to set the example. And I think, you know, some people say that culture is overrated in the NBA. And it's a thing that, you know, bad teams like to say. But I actually think culture does have an impact. Like, if you're not going to sign with a terrible team that, you know, even if they have one positive season, they have some good young talent, but they've handled their situations bad in the past, you know, you're not going to sign there. You're going to sign with a team that's treated their players well, you know, does whatever they can to make it easy on their players and, you know, not known as being, you know, a well-run organization. So I think that's something that the Kings are trying to do, and that's important for their team to kind of ever get back to relevance. But talking about, you know, predictions, give me your Kings starters for this year.
King starters. A part of me doesn't think De'Aaron Fox starts right away.
I don't think he will.
But I'm just – no, right? But, like, there's so many young players.
I think you have to start George Hill and Buddy Hill.
All right. So – but then, I mean, at the small forward position, who's smart at the small forward position? It's a weird bunch.
They could go with three guards. I'm going to give you two lineups. I don't really know what they're thinking in Sacramento, to be honest, just by the offseason and how things are going. I'll give you a young lineup and I'll give you an old lineup. My young lineup is going to be George Hill, Buddy Hill, Justin Jackson, Scowl, Libazaire, and Willie Cauley-Stein. My old lineup will be George Hill, Buddy Hill, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and Costa Kufis. So depending on what direction they're going to, I don't know if they're trying to like engrave toughness, you know, in the first couple games, or if they're just going to let the young talent go, because they do still have their pick this year and they don't have it next year. So they might be looking for a high pick. I'm not really sure what direction they're going to go with the starting lineup.
All right. So this is the starting lineup that I guess I would just have in general. I have Fox at the one, George Hill at the two, Buddy Hield at the three, and then Zeebo and Stein.
I mean, that could be a real possibility. I feel like they might want to play Labazier because, like, he showed some nice stuff at the end of last season, and he shows, you know, some real nice athleticism. But it's tough to say because we don't know if they want to go young or big in that front court, and that's going to be a big difference too.
This is a team that's probably the first one we've had on our countdown. I really can't think of a steady lineup because there's so many different routes that Dave Yeager can take with this team.
Pretty much the only people that I'm willing to lock into the starting lineup are George Hill and Buddy Hield.
Not even Zeebo?
I think like they would consider, you know, playing Zeebo off the bench because I don't think he really cares that much. He came off the bench last year, so it's not like he's at a point in his NBA career where his ego is like at the top. We know that he probably signed with Sacramento because they gave him the best offer, not because he wanted to win games.
Right.
So, I mean, it's tough. It kind of makes the Kings a little bit more interesting than I initially anticipated, to be honest. I don't know why I'm so intrigued by their starting lineup choices now. But breakout players for the Kings. Breakout starter.
Breakout starter, it's – all right. So, because I have – this is my rookie of the year candidate. Like, this is – like, my guy is on this team.
Like, he's your favorite to win rookie of the year?
I'm not gonna say that yet. That's for another day. But he's in
top
my top three
or top five. Like,
top three. He's top in my three? Top three for rookie of the year, De'Aaron Fox. I haven't made like my final prediction of who I think is gonna win it, but he's in my top three. I think he could be explosive on this Kings team. I just think playing alongside Hill, playing alongside Hill, I think they have a nice balance of a few shooters now. So, you know, the driving kick could be an effect. And, I mean, big man-wise, there's still a lot of guys a point guard like him can dish it off to while he's driving. And that's the one thing that John Wall was always very good at with, like, Gortat and Markieff Morris. You know, he would drive down low and just hand the ball off for an easy dunk. Man around him where that's quite possible. He could do, you know, that four or five times a game. Plus with the kick out of the shooters, I don't know. He could have a really big year for me. So, for me, if he starts, that's my breakout guy. Healed, because I know he'll be a starter for sure.
Yeah, I'm going with Buddy Hill. I mean, I think De'Aaron Fox did have a big year. I don't know. Like you said, we'll have another episode where we talk rookie of the year predictions. I'm not ready to give mine out yet. I'd have to think about it a little bit longer. He definitely has an opportunity in Sacramento, like I said before. It kind of depends. If they go with let the young guys play, you know, he could see a ton of minutes and a ton of touches. So that'd definitely be interesting stuff. But I'll go with Buddy Hill just because I liked what I saw from him at the end of last season. And he's going to be expected to score on this team because it's not like they have a ton of scores. So they're going to need him to put up points.
I mean, yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, Buddy Hield, I wouldn't be surprised if he averages, you know, right around 19 or 20 points per game this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to take a lot of shots. I don't know if he averaged that much, it would be a good percentage. But he's definitely going to have the opportunity to, because looking at the roster, you know, obviously they have the veterans, but it's not like these guys are instant buckets. So there could definitely be some scoring issues on this team. Breakout bench guy.
All right, breakout bench guy. So again, it's kind of thrown off depending on his. So he's obviously a floater. If he obviously starts, or I'm gonna say. I have Scal coming off the bench, so I'm gonna have Scal Libert. Labrisi?
Labazaire?
Yeah. Scal Labazaire. Like, you know, I had to read an article on him in class.
Kind That's of cool.
Like a background story on Scal. So I really liked the kids. He had to go through a lot in Haiti when there was the earthquakes and everything. His family had to go through a lot. So like you said, last year he really came on strong to end the year. Obviously, we know DeMarcus Cousins. They're going to be looking for their future big man of the, you know, going forward. And I think Scal, like you said, he has a good chance of doing that because he's a little bit more offensively gifted than Willie Cauley-Stein, who's more like a, you know, a Tyson Chandler type guy. You know, he's a rebounder and he's an oop and a dunker. Scal can actually, he has a couple post moves. He can, you know, back the floor a little bit more than Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, he definitely, and he has that super athleticism, and you know, that could be something good where Willie Cauley-Stein's a defensive guy. Actually, I was thinking about it while I was thinking about the bench guy. I'd probably maybe lock Willie Cauley-Stein in the starting lineup too. I know I said Kufis in my old lineup, but I'd probably go Willie Cauley-Stein just because I think they finally want to see what he can do, if he can live up to potential, and it's going to be kind of his, you know, opportunity to shine in Sacramento. But back to my breakout bench guy, I'm going to go take the easy choice because I didn't have De'Aaron Fox starting, and I'll have him off the bench. And I think, you know, going against, you know, bench players will kind of be a little bit easier for him. And they'll kind of ease him into the role because there is still an adjustment in the NBA. He's super fast. But, you know, usually being that fast in the NBA, you got to be able to slow down too, especially because the athletes are, you know, not as fast as him necessarily, but they're at a higher level than what he was seeing in college. So he'll need some adjustment, but I think he could have a big year off the bench.
We both clearly have De'Aaron Fox having a decent season to start off. So, you know, this is a guy that analysts liked, and man, I really can't wait to see Fox on the court.
I just want to see what he does with his jump shot this year. That'll be a big, you know, a big deal for him. You know, if he's able to hit his jump shot relatively consistently in the beginning of the season, he's going to be a real tough defend, even at his size. We know he's not the biggest guy right now, but he's still, you know, fast and quick, and he can get in that lane. But let's talk wins. Best case scenario for the Kings this season, win wise
best case scenario. It's funny because I'm going lower than the last one, I think. I'm going to say best case scenario, 32 wins. 32 wins is best case scenario. And that's, you know, obviously these rookies showing up and De'Aaron Fox having a nice start to his career. 32.
Yeah, 32 to 34, best case for me. You know, all these young guys make a great push. You know, Jaeger gets everybody to play hard. They play some defense. They have some toughness. And, you know, these veterans are able to kind of guide these young guys into the right direction. They still give them quality minutes, even Z-Bo and Vince Carter. We kind of know what George Hill's going to do. You know, he's been a solid point guard for a while now. But I think, you know, best case would be that 32-34, and they wouldn't even get them close to the playoffs, in my opinion. I know some people have had some really hot takes and saying they'll compete for an 8 seed, but I am not one of those people.
I think they can compete for an 8 seed, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be like a close race. Like I think if they compete for an 8 seed, they're still going to be like a 10 seed. Like they may lose an 8 seed by like 5 or 6 games, you know, and be relevant until like February or January. But I'm with you on the fact that this is not a playoff. That's got to be all these rookies coming out, and all of them are in the top 5 rookie of the year.
Yeah, and that's not going to really happen. So I mean, like, I could see them competing, like you said, maybe until, like, February or something. But in my mind, that's not really competing. Until if they were there in March and April, I'd be extremely impressed. But I do not see that happening. Worst case scenario for the Kings.
I'm going to say worst case scenario is 24, 25 wins. You know, they hover around, you know, very mediocre. The old guys like Z-Bo and Vince Carter have their first, you know, really bad NBA seasons with the, you know, fact that they're getting up there in age. And then we just, you know, we don't see the young guys develop or produce like that we're looking for them to. George Hill has had injury past with his ankles and his toes a lot. So, you know, if a guy like him goes down, if the old guys are struggling. I mean, this could be a team that does extremely poor. You know, I like how you said a lot of guys are high on the Kings. This could do a 180 on people real quick.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not even trying to be crazy. I think they're probably going to be, you know, there's a solid chance they could be one of the worst teams in the Western Conference. I know Kings fans or people might think I'm crazy, but I just look at their team and I see a lot of issues offensively and shooting-wise. And then, like, you know, at the 4 and the 5, they don't really have a guy that can space the floor. So, I mean, like, that could be a real issue for them. Obviously, there's some mid-range game, but nobody at the 4 or the 5 is really shooting threes. You know, Buddy Hield have a good year. George Hill's a good three-point shooter. But then you look at the bench, there could be some issues. Vince Carter, you know, he's a little bit inconsistent from three. So worst case for me would be, like you said, you know, 24 wins, you know, at the bottom of that Western Conference, which isn't necessarily bad. You know, grab a high pick, see what happens. But what's your realistic prediction for the Kings?
27 wins. Realistically, I think they win 26, 27 wins above my worst case scenario. But, you know, I don't see them going crazy. I know I think they're a team that has some nights where you go, wow, if these young guys develop correctly, just like the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, I can remember watching them, you know, last year, the year before, saying, like, if these guys continue to develop, they can be really good. And I think the Kings are another one of those teams, along with, like, the Phoenix Suns. You're going to watch them. You're going to see these young guys at times play really good basketball. And then they're going to go through these stretches where they lose 7 or 8 games in a row and they look, you know, very bad. Team is going to be a team that really gets you an 8th seed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, I have them in that 26 to 28 win range. You know, like you said, and it's also, you know, the fact they're playing the Western Conference. You know, there's a lot of good teams, and you mentioned it, like teams like the Phoenix Suns and the Lakers, you know, they're not necessarily playoff teams, but they still have some nice talent. And they're the type of team that could play really well one night and play like trash the next. So it's going to be an interesting Western Conference, interesting Eastern Conference. But we'll see what happens with the Kings. I know this is probably a team that a lot of people are divided on, because I think some people still have them as one of the worst teams in the league, and other people have them around that 8th seed. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this year.
You know, I think it is too. The draft was obviously really good. Signed George Hill, who we all know is a very good defender and 3-point shooter. And then they add a guy like Zeebo, with a well-known name. And they add Vince Carter, which is another well-known name. I think it's just like lots of people, you know, people start thinking with more emotion than actually like rationality.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, that's the only way this team could be like above expectations is if they come out and just play some like really good defense, because they do have some defensive potential. So if they come out defensively, that'd probably be their best bet to kind of impress me.
I mean, like, who knows? I mean, this team couldn't, like some people predict. I mean, if guys hit their stride, like you said, and confidence, you know, we're talking about a lot of guys too, who early confidence could be a real big thing here. You know, there's no leaders that are taking the spot, you know, or can get more minutes, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for this team, so we'll see what happens this year. But let's talk about the truth. The emoji I have for the Kings this year are the looking eyes. You know, like, oh shit, we're checking out the Kings. They're doing something right.
I like it. I didn't really have one set up, because I was depending on you for this. And this is definitely a team with, like, all the youth. I mean, like we mentioned, I mean, just talking about the starting lineups. I mean, that's the most intrigued I've been with the starting lineup so far on this preview series. And we're at 22 right now. Right? Is this 22?
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. Good with numbers. It's definitely a team that I want to see. Like, this is probably one of the higher league pass teams I'll have too. Because, you know, like we said, the offseason has been pretty good for the Kings. The draft has been pretty good. I mean, this is a team who went from having a direction with DeMarcus Cousins, who pretty good job on flipping this roster for a new direction going forward.
Yeah, you can see what they're trying to do, which is always a positive thing. But you mentioned league pass. What's your league pass rating for the Kings?
6. My highest rating yet.
I'm surprised.
The Pacers. Pacers was 10. Pacers obviously were the highest. But yeah, this is a 6.
That is a surprise. I only have them at a 4 out of 10. I mean, they have some nice young pieces. I guess I'm, like, more interested in good basketball. And I want to see just, like, the top teams compete. So I'll probably be, like, a strickler until we get into, like, the top 12.
The only reason it's a 6 for me, Nick, is because like I said before, I have De'Aaron Fox in my top 3 rookie.
That's candidates. Your boy, so yeah. Then I mean, so that makes sense.
I'm expecting big things, and you know, if this kid actually takes off or starts playing well, I'm gonna want to watch more just so I can be like, haha, I'm right if I do pick him. And then also, like, I really like Harry Giles, and I'm hoping he has a nice healthy start to his NBA career. So those two guys for me are the reasons why I'm really intrigued to watch the Kings.
Well, they do have some good athletes. There's some really good athletes on this team, which is always fun to watch. They weren't a great team in terms of pace last year, so maybe this year they'll pick it up.
And this very well may be Vince Carter's last season. So that also plays some part into it. Not that Vince Carter is exciting and, you know, you got to watch him anymore.
No, I love Vince. I love Vince. So I can see that point. That probably gave them an extra point in my book. Maybe I'll move him up to a 5 or 10. But
we'll see.
Yeah, it sucks. No offense to the Kings. It just sucks that Vince is not, like, going to be on a playoff team if it's his last season. Or, like, I just really wish that he signed with the Warriors or even the Cavs.
Or even just Boston. To see him playing in, like, an NBA Finals. Yeah. To see him in NBA Finals with a chance to maybe, you know, hit a big-time three or a clutch dunk.
Maybe have some, like, rejuvenation like Richard Jefferson did with the Cavs. You know, before RJ went back to went to the Cavs, there wasn't much talk about him continuing his NBA career. Next thing you know, he's putting up big minutes in the finals and having a big impact. So you never know. But you would watch the Kings over what TV show you like?
Oh boy. You told me to prepare myself before we hopped on the air here, start thinking about it. God, what show? Be the stumper every time, right?
Yeah. This is a tough one. I actually thought about it in advance, and like I said, the Kings are still like around a 4 out of 10 for me. I'm going to go with I'd rather watch the Kings over Master of None. You know, I thought season 1 was pretty good, but season 2 has been like, eh.
All right, I'm going to watch this. I didn't pick Grey's Anatomy yet, did I?
No, you did not.
Grey's Anatomy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Grey's Anatomy is being mentioned on an NBA podcast.
Yeah, you better hope somebody I know doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, or she better hope that it's not how many Kings are on. Yeah. Show, it's entertaining to have on in the background. You know, it's not one of those shows where I watch every episode, but occasionally, you know, you hear something or you see something and you're like, you get intrigued. And, you know, I feel like the Kings can attract my attention more times than not than Grey's Anatomy.
Fair point. And that wraps it up for the Kings. Corey, as always, thanks for hopping on. And as always, everybody, thanks for listening. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know how we did, positive, negative, whatever you want to say.